This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, June 29th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. PFAS pesticide bill amended. $68 million for clean farm equipment. Bill to streamline regulatory reviews dies. U.S. and Iran trade strikes. A California bill targeting PFAS and pesticides advanced last week that after senators stripped provisions that alarmed agriculture groups. The amendments eliminated a requirement to classify agriculture pesticides containing intentionally added per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances as restricted materials. The changes would also remove notification mandates through the state's spray days system. Instead, fluorinated active ingredients would be identified through California's existing statewide pesticide use reporting program. But AB 1603, it would still bar the Department of Pesticide Regulation from registering new products containing intentionally added PFAS ingredients beginning in January. Applications submitted before that deadline could continue through DPR's review process. A coalition of agricultural, business, and manufacturing groups remain opposed unless the bill is amended further. They argue the registration ban could block growers and pest managers from accessing newer products that may be safer, more targeted, and more effective than existing tools. California farmers could receive new help purchasing electric tractors, agricultural robots, and other zero-emission equipment under a $70 million funding plan approved last week by the California Air Resources Board. CARB directed $68 million to the Clean Off-Road Equipment Voucher Incentive Project known as CORE. The program lowers the upfront cost of commercial-ready electric equipment used in agriculture, construction, freight, and other off-road sectors. The allocation could take on added importance for growers after the state budget zeroed out funding for the Farmer Program, which helped growers replace older diesel tractors, harvesters, irrigation pump engines, and other farm equipment. Saga Robotics founder Paul Johann Fromm said CORE has supported about 35 electric autonomous robots in California vineyards with 75 more planned. The machines use ultraviolet light to control fungal diseases while replacing diesel tractor passes and chemical applications. Every dollar you put into CORE turns quickly into zero emission equipment in California fields, Fromm told the board. CARB plans a July 2nd implementation workshop and expects the first-come, first-served vouchers to become available this fall, likely October. Now take note, the Saga Robotics technology will be on display tomorrow in Mendocino County for UC Agriculture and Natural Resources Ag Tech Field Day. Senator Scott Wiener pulled SB 1123 ahead of a key hearing last week after the measure lacked enough support to advance. The bill would have changed how agencies determine whether a regulation crosses the $50 million threshold requiring a standardized regulatory impact assessment. Agencies would have been required to calculate offsetting benefits, savings, and positive effects when estimating a regulation's economic impact. Several farm and business groups oppose the bill, arguing the new existing review provides an important safeguard against excessive regulation and gives farmers and other stakeholders a clearer picture of the economic consequences of major rules. As Washington prepares for a big week in agriculture, a review of the North American trade deal, USMCA, farm labor legislation, and one of the USDA's biggest reports of the year all on tap, the fragile ceasefire between Washington and Tehran tested over the weekend. As the U.S. and Iran traded strikes in the Middle East, President Donald Trump Saturday threatened to return to full military force if violations of the country's temporary peace deal continue. Iran's Assembly of Experts, an advisory group recommending the Strait of Hormuz, a global fuel and fertilizer shipment choke point, be closed again if Israel doesn't stop operations in Lebanon, that according to the Wall Street Journal. The military blows come as American farm products are increasingly getting pulled into the diplomatic mix. President Trump last week said the U.S. would start using frozen Iranian funds to purchase wheat, corn, and soybeans for Iran. It's another reminder that the Trump administration has shown a willingness to insert agriculture into nearly every major trade and geopolitical negotiation. That, according to Susan Stroud, a no-bull ag analyst, in a note to clients this weekend. In the meantime, markets are, quote, increasingly desensitized to each new Middle East headline as the ceasefire continued to look anything but this past weekend, Stroud said. Fuel and fertilizer prices have dropped recently with expectations that the strait will continue to reopen and eventually get back to pre-war traffic. U.S. farmers will get new hints of the state of domestic crop supplies this year. The Agriculture Department tomorrow releasing its grain and soybean acreage estimates. Five U.S. senators are raising concerns about a planned Mexico zero deforestation certification program, warning that it could allow Mexican avocados grown on deforested land to qualify for export. In a letter to U.S. trade officials, the senators say they were concerned by environmentalist warnings that the certification program could be used to, quote, paper over Mexico's longstanding failure to enforce its environmental laws while allowing products of illegal deforestation to secure export eligibility. Mexico's government is developing the framework with the Association of Avocado Exporting Producers and Packers of Mexico. That's an avocado producer and exporter group. The senators note that the APIM wants the new system to replace pro-forest agriculture, an independent satellite-based program run by the Guardian Forestal that already certifies packing houses responsible for more than 90% of Mexican avocado exports. The lawmakers urge the administration to push Mexico to preserve PFA rather than displace it. When the Foreign Agriculture Service handed out millions in export promotion grants through the Regional Agriculture Promotion Program at FY25, it was not able to prove performance measures in the agreements had fully met program requirements, USDA's Office of Inspector General finds in a recent audit. OIG's audit examined seven of the 67 organizations that split $300 million under the promotion program in the last fiscal year, finding that four had performance targets too vague to track results. As a result, FAS has reduced assurance that participants' proposed activities will achieve RAP's goal of increasing export sales, the report says. The agency relied on an informal practice of verbal resolution to address RAP agreement issues rather than a documented process, the audit says. In response, FAS has agreed to make program procedures clearer and identify performance measures that do not meet program requirements when reviewing annual performance evaluation reports. Here's today's final word. He showed up, did the work, and never stopped believing this industry could be stronger for everyone in it. That Natalie Collins, president of the California Association of Wine Grape Growers, mourning the passing of former CAWG chair John Ledbetter, a longtime Luddy area grower and industry advocate. He helped expand his family's farming business, played a key role in developing the Luddy rules for sustainable wine growing, and was remembered by CAWG as a generous, tireless champion for California growers. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, June 29th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Alley.